Welcome to the Well Society Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Kay, licensed master level social worker and certified Christian health and life coach. I'm your professional go-to expert for all driven yes women who desire more energy, peace, and joy for the things and people she loves the most so she can be well, feel well, and do well while coming to the proverbial well of Jesus. Thanks for coming to the well today. I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, ladies, welcome back to another episode of Holy Healthy Christian Moms. I literally just hit record. Andrea and I were having an amazing, beautiful conversation, and we kept saying, we should just record this. And so we hit record, and this is impromptu, but sometimes those are the best things. So how are you checking in today, Andrea?
Yeah, good. Excited. Just talked to another woman. We'll be welcoming into the membership, and just also, you know, thinking about the possibility of the summer coming before us and all of that, and just kind of excited about what we were just talking about too, which
yeah,
will be fun to bring the listeners into the conversation.
I'm excited too about a new lifetime member. Something that the Lord, my word of the year has been simplify, and he has continued to share that to me as Andrea and I are working together. But he also is bringing it in this conversation that we were just having, and want to kind of fold you guys in this conversation. I don't even remember. Oh, this is how it started. The Lord has just been laying on my heart over the past couple of weeks that I need to be doing a better job taking care of my homestead, of the inside of my home, the outside of my home. And as a result, that showing love to my family by having an organized, not a chaotic, like all the things everywhere, the mail all over the counter, all the things. And it just kind of blossomed into this conversation where, Andrea, you're having kind of a similar experience.
Yeah. So over the years, just to give those of you that are listening a picture. So my husband had been pretty much told by God to go back to school full time for his master's to become a counselor about 7 years ago. And to make that, one of the things he had us do to not go into debt was to sell our single family home and move to the first floor of a three family that we owned. And so there was six of us, what felt like shoeboxed into the first floor. And then now, thankfully, we are also up on the third floor with my mother-in-law on the second, but we live in a century home and spaces are small and whatnot. Anyway, through this journey of living where we do, there's not room to have a lot of clutter. Like if there is, like it literally, I can feel the anxiety increase to see mess and clutter. So God has had me on these, it kind of comes in waves of getting rid of things. And I'm on this, like this other one now where I'm just feeling this restlessness to get rid of things, but I'm hanging on to it until August, because we do this garage sale to raise money for missions. So I'm like, I have to wait till August, but then it's like the stuff I'm collecting is all gone. But yeah. And just realizing like it can be, I think I used to be more sentimental than I am now in hanging on to stuff, and how sometimes it can feel like it's hard to let go of things. But then when you actually let them go, there's like this sigh of relief that happens, and literally a weight gets lifted.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was telling Andrea before we hit record that my husband and I are both very sentimental people. And, you know, I'll find like napkins from the Polar Express, or, you know, a pin from our honeymoon. We've been married for 16 years, things like that. And so that stuff accumulates, especially when, you know, we have four kids too and a dog. So we've got a full house, and we don't live in a large home either, which we're totally fine with. We love our home, but it's not big, and there's a lot of people, and the people in the house are, at least the four little people, they're still growing. their stuff is getting bigger. And so it can just really add up. But I was in my daughter's room, my two girls, they share a bedroom, and I was in their room cleaning stuff out the other day. And I'm like, oh, these stuffed animals, like where do they come from? Why do they keep coming? And so I started purging them. And if my mother listens to this, she'll be so upset. But I got rid of a couple of my Cabbage Patch Kid dolls that I'd had. Now I'm an 80s baby, and that was like the big Cabbage Patch dolls for Christmas, and some of my original Pound Puppies, but they weren't serving a purpose for me. My daughters weren't playing with them. They were actually, at this juncture in my life, causing me more stress, having just the extra things than moving them on to the next place. So yeah.
Hey, but really important question. What were the names of your Cabbage Patch dolls?
Penny and Julie. Those are the two that I got rid of. And then I had one that didn't really have a name, but Penny.
Were those the names that they came with, or did you
came on the certificate?
Them?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's like normal. Mine was Deidre Ursuline.
Deidre Ursuline. No, Babyland is not far from, I grew up in Georgia, and we would go to Babyland where the babies were made, babies were hatched from the cabbages or whatever. But a couple of years ago, my best friend from college lives about 5 minutes from Babyland. And so we went to Babyland with my kids, and my oldest, she got to name one of the baby cabbages that was born. They still do that.
So. That's so cool. Okay. I need to plan a trip there, but yeah, so it's really easy, right? Like just talking about, I'm like getting all sentimental. I mean, I got rid of my Cabbage Patch doll a while ago. The one that was a holdout for me was I got into, the American Girl dolls actually when I was around 12. So probably on the older end of the spectrum than for sure you see now. And I had Samantha and a lot of her things. And I finally, only a couple years ago, did I finally get rid of all of that, because my daughter, for some reason, never really was into dolls that much, or she didn't really. And so then it became a point of, oh, I'll hang on to it for the grandkids, right. Like the future. And then I was like, why am I hanging on to this? Like, one, there's no guarantee. And like, what if they're all boys, or like, what if we don't have grandkids or whatever? It just, it's like, I have to let it go because it was just taking up space. But how it can be so hard, right? For us to let go of things that brought us joy at one point, and that have memories associated with them.
Yeah. And what are we hanging on to when, by doing that? Like, are we hanging on to, I don't know, subconsciously a simpler time, a more fun time where we didn't have all the responsibilities in our childhood? Is that what we're holding on to? Because those memories are there, whether or not we have our Cabbage Patch dolls or our Samantha dolls or whatever. They're all there. Yeah. And scripture tells us where to store up our treasures. And he's not telling us to store up our treasures in our closets and crammed under our children's beds. Like, that's not... where our treasures go. So our treasures are in heaven, and everything of this world is going to pass away anyway. And that's something that I was telling Andrea about, the wedding portraits. Do y'all do that in Ohio?
I don't think it's a thing. I mean, it's definitely not a thing that I have been aware, that idea of what you were describing. I don't know that I've seen that.
You were like, oh yeah. So to catch all up, what I was talking about is in the South, I'm in South Carolina. In the South, there is a tradition, I guess, where a woman gets married and you have bridal portraits made in your dress. And then the mom or the mother-in-law, both, can get a poster size canvas of the bride, and they'll hang them up in the dining room. So some of you are like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And others of you are probably like, what? But so for me, in my case, it would be when my children get married that in my dining room, I would have a poster size bridal portrait of my two daughters and then my two daughter-in-laws. When I got married, I asked for my mom and my mother-in-law not to do that, because in my mind it was, okay, so my mother-in-law and my mom will eventually pass away. So what, then am I going to have two portraits of myself? And then when I pass away, are my son-in-laws going to want their mother-in-law's bridal portrait hanging in their house? And who am I putting this on to dispose of a bridal portrait? Yes. And so that's kind of one of the things too. Like, I don't know, what emotional baggage, excuse me, are we passing on to other generations because we're being melancholy about Cabbage Patch Kids or whatever it is for you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that was a realization for me when my husband's first his grandfather died and then his grandmother followed a couple years after. And I, at the time, I had an organizing business with a friend. And so we actually were helping to do the estate sale. And they had been at a time, I think out of the, I think this came out of the Depression era. I imagine it did, where the, where it was more accessible for middle class and people and, you know, of lower income, people of lower income to start collecting things, right? Where mm-hmm. maybe that was only possible for the very wealthy at one point. So they were very much into collecting things like carnival glass, figurines, yeah. like all of that stuff, right? And of course, like they had to spend a, you know, it, what those things weren't cheap. I think they may even had some of the Royal Doulton china. I know my grandmother, one of my grandmothers was like big on collecting Royal Doulton mm-hmm. girls. And as I was doing the estate sale and setting it all up and just knowing that this would have been something that it literally, they would have seen it as an investment. And yet, you know, we had the antique dealers come through and they picked up a few things, but at some point nobody wanted the stuff. Like it was just, and it was a lot. And I think God used that to really, it like show me tangibly why there are things like we need to learn how to let go of and not hold this emotional attachment to, or thinking about the stuff that I have, like, is this really serving me? Is this really serving me in this season? Is this something I really need to keep in my home? Or is it something that I can get rid of because I don't want to be sentimental for my children. Right. And thinking, oh, I'll love to pass this on. They might not, they may hate it.
Right. And then it's putting that emotional burden on them.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So literally my, what I think now is as I'm going through stuff is like, would I want somebody to deal with this when I die?
That sounds awful, like, but it's true. Like, and that's yeah. like, I was, I mean, this Cabbage Patch doll that I, like I said, my mother's going to have a stroke if she listens to me, but that I got rid of, it was like my precious doll. But several years ago, my daughter had taken a Sharpie pen and was like Sharpie all over. I mean, it was not even a thing. And it's like, why do I want to pass that down to, those are my emotions. Those are not my daughter's emotions. I don't want to project that on her and then mm-hmm. her have to feel like, oh, I don't want to get rid of this because it was my mom's special doll. You know, just, it's just a lot. So, yeah. So yeah. And I think another question that gets raised is why do we feel the need to hold on to these emotional pieces? Like what are we, like the deeper side mm-hmm. the coaching, but yes. what part of us, why do we feel it necessary to hang on to these things? Like, what are we fearful of? Why are we feeling like we need to control it? And by saying yes to holding on to the Cabbage Patch doll, by saying yes, what are the things that we're saying no to? And what are we causing chaos and clutter it for our future by holding on to these things?
Yeah. And even as we were talking, even before we had hit record too, is just thinking about the things that we literally or figuratively like drop at the cross, but then pick back up again. Like sometimes we're like, I know I'm carrying this bag, I need to leave it. Mm-hmm. And then if we use the metaphor of a suitcase, it's like, well, maybe I'll put that shirt back in. Like, I kind of like that one, or I'm going to pick that up. Or,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting how there's some things that are hard for us to just leave at his feet and let go. And yet when we are able to do that, the freedom that comes is just amazing. Like literally there is such a lightness in our spirit and our body.
Yes.
We're able to let these things go.
And I think even, and we're going like, I did not see this conversation going this way. We're going like way deep here, but
yeah.
I worked in hospice for 10 years. So I helped patients, the people who were dying, I helped them emotionally transition, you know, into death. And then followed the families for a year afterward, providing them bereavement services as they, you know, were grieving in that first year. But as I'm, you know, thinking about some of these houses that I went to, the families that had a better experience with their loved one who was passing away, were the families that the loved one who was passing away didn't have a house full of stuff. and didn't have like all these loose ends. The families that were able to be fully present and enjoying the last moments were the families of patients who had taken care of their affairs, whether it's living will, healthcare power of attorney, estate planning, like where there was funeral planning, where there was no question. And they had gotten rid of all of their stuff. So there was no question. They were just able to be fully present. So, and that we can apply that to our lives now. When we're holding on to these things, we're not able to be fully present for what the Lord is offering us with our experiences. You know, that was a death and dying experience, but we have experiences as living people, like all the time, that we miss out on because we're too immersed in clutter and too immersed in yesterday and not here.
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about that because at I was at a networking lunch this week and there's a number of ladies that deal with that kind of thing, like estate planning and all of that. And I'm like, man, I think I'm due for that kind of wellness check, you know, make sure that we have our, so I think this was just confirmation for me. I need like, it can, and it can be, I know it can feel morbid or it's like, why are we focusing on that? But that just even hearing that sometimes there's things that we need to learn what to let go of and also things that we need to put in place to things that may be hard. Sometimes we do need to face the hard things or things that are potentially sad to think about, but just looking at what that does for us, like that peace that comes in letting things go or in putting things in place that are wise to put in place for the future.
My husband and I, we just did our estate planning, I don't know, in 2021. Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean, it's not like, yay, let's go talk about what's going to happen to our kids.
Yeah.
And we kind of waited a little bit. We wanted to make sure that we were done having kids so we didn't have to redo all the things. But then having those conversations, trying to figure out like, it made us face the mortality of our parents too. Mm-hmm. And deciding who would take the children and then asking, would you be willing to take, we don't want to split our kids up and we have four. So who, you know, finding all those things, those are not pleasant. Well, they were pleasant, but they weren't easy conversations to have. But now that Wade and I are on the other side and we have all of those documents in place, it's no longer a cloud over me. And Wade and I, we've said several times, like how much peace we feel because it's done. You know, it's not like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. Which has freed up our energy and our bandwidth to be more present with our kids. Just estate planning of all things. Maybe we need to get a lawyer on here to talk about the benefits of estate planning.
Or that could be an expert in the membership. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking just so that we tie things up with a bow for this episode is just for those of you that are listening, thinking about what are the things that God has been asking you to let go of that it's been hard to release or that you have kind of sort of put down, but you've picked up again at times. And it's like, and there's this tug of war that has been going on or what are the things that he's asking you to put in place or to face that are hard, that bring up the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But there is always a good purpose in that, in persisting through the hard places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's one of the beautiful things with the group coaching calls and the membership is we can help mm-hmm. women with these types of things and mm-hmm. to know it's helpful for the women to know that they're not alone. There are other women that feel attached to their Cabbage Patch dolls. There are other women who have not done their estate planning, but feel the burden of it. And so it helps to build that momentum and then normalize where we are. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it too, because we hear this often from members, is like knowing that we're not alone. Like it's okay. It's okay if you're struggling in the struggle of letting go, or it's okay that this feels uncomfortable. Like we feel uncomfortable too, or we struggle mm-hmm. too. And it's like, it, to me, it kind of normalizes those feelings instead of thinking that you're like this, like an island, isolated on an island, and you're the only one that finds it really hard. It's like, no, in that conversation and in that support, it's like, yeah, this is part of that experience.
Yeah. This has been an amazing conversation.
Yeah. Good.
We've been like, and it's so funny because all week we've been trying to get our schedules together to do this. And it was like, nope, nope, nope. Nothing was lining up, but clearly the Lord was preparing us for this conversation. I think this is the perfect,
for sure.
Perfect thing. So,
yeah.
All right, ladies. Well, we are going to wrap this up and we're just so thankful for you. Please let us know in the comments or leave us a comment, leave us an email or hop in and join our Facebook group, Holy Healthy Christian Moms, and let us know, like, what is the baggage? Like, what are your Cabbage Patch dolls? What are your Samantha dolls? Like, what are the things that you need to leave at the feet of the Lord that you're storing your treasure in heaven instead of, I mean, on earth instead of storing your treasure in heaven? And if you want to know more about joining our membership, please hop in the Facebook group or send us an email at whcmoms@gmail.com. And we can't wait to see you on the next episode.
My prayer is that you are leaving this episode with more energy, more joy, and more peace than when you came to. Make sure to subscribe and share the Well Society podcast so that we can reach more driven yes women like you. Come join us in the Women at the Well Christian Health and Wellness Support Group on Facebook and subscribe to my email list to stay apprised of all upcoming events, programs, and coaching opportunities. If the content of this episode resonated with you and you'd like to speak with me about investing and working with me one-on-one or in the Well Society Intensive, please visit www.aaronkcoaching.com to schedule a complimentary fitting call. Until the next time we meet at this well, do well, be well, and feel well.